Thank you, Prabhuji. You have kartas, Prabhuji? Kartas is there? No, just kartas. I just took kartas. Thank you. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Prabhus, Hare Krishna Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhus, Hare Krishna Mataji. Do you know that your glories of Mathura Desh is so nicely heard even in Singapore? 2 weeks ago, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj was in Singapore. And Maharaj took an ecstatic class. We had almost 600-700 devotees, and we thought the place would collapse. But Maharaj gave such an ecstatic class, and in the class, he stated that he has gone to so many yatras in the world. But the yatra, one of the yatras that inspires him the most is Mathura Desh. So when I informed Maharaj that, Maharaj, I will be coming to Muscat sometime, he said, you tell this to the devotees. So I said, all right, Maharaj, I'll be very happy to tell all of you. Just seeing all of you gives me so much inspiration that there is so much future for Krishna consciousness. Please, thank you so much for your association. Now let us just speak a little bit and hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we can continue with the rest of the programs. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja
Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chari.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhav ki.
Jai.
Jai Shri Krishna Balaram ji ki.
Jai.
Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra mai ki.
Jai.
Jai Shri Shri Gonitai ki.
Jai.
Shri La Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Shri La Gurudev ki.
Jai.
Ananta Kori Vaishnavinda ki.
Jai.
Nitai Gora Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So today we look at a verse from the 4th canto, 23rd, 26th chapter, text 15. So I will chant and you can chant with me, Prabhu and Mataji, after that. Na tatai tarhi rochante. Graheshu griha sampadaha. Yadi nasyad grihe mata. Patni va pati devata. Vyange rata iva pragnya. O nama sita dinava.
O nama sita dinava.
Na tatai tarhi rochante.
Na tatai tarhi rochante.
Graheshu griha sampadaha.
Graheshu griha sampadaha.
Yadi nasyar grihe mata.
Yadi nasyar grihe mata.
Patni va pati devata.
Patni va pati devata.
Vyange rata iva prajnyah.
Vyange rata iva prajnyah.
O namasita dinava.
O namasita dinava.
Na tatai tarhi rochante.
Na tatai tarhi rochante.
Graheshu griha sampadah.
Graheshu griha sampadah.
Yadi nasyad grihe mata.
Yadi nasyad grihe mata.
Patni va pati devata.
Patni va pati devata.
Vyange rata iva prajnya.
Vyange rata iva prajnya.
O namasita dinava.
O namasita dinava.
Please repeat the transliteration. Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Tatha.
Tatha.
Like before.
Like before.
Etarhi.
Etarhi.
At this moment.
At this moment.
Rochante.
Rochante.
Become pleasing.
Become pleasing.
Graheshu.
Graheshu.
At home.
At home.
Griha sampadaha.
Griha sampadaha.
All household paraphernalia.
All household paraphernalia.
Yadi.
If.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Syat.
Syat.
There is.
Grahe.
Grahe.
At home.
Mata.
Mata.
Mother.
Mother.
Patni.
Patni.
Wife.
Wife.
Va.
Va.
Or. Pati Devata.
Pati Devata.
Devoted to the husband.
Vyange.
Without wheels.
Rate.
In a chariot.
Iva.
Like.
Pragnyaha.
Learned man.
Kaha.
Who is that?
Nama.
Indeed.
Asita.
Would sit.
Dinavat.
Like a poverty-stricken creature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. King Puranjana said,
I do not understand
why my household paraphernalia
does not attract me
as before.
I think
that if there is neither a mother
nor devoted wife
at home,
the home
is like a chariot
without wheels.
Where is the fool
who will sit down
on such an unworkable chariot?
Please hear the purport.
The great politician Chanakya Pandit said, Mata yasya grihe nasti, bharya chapriya vadini, aranyam tena gantavyam, yatharanyam tatha graham. If a person has neither a mother nor a pleasing wife at home, he should leave home and go to the forest. Because for him, there is no difference between the forest and home. The real mata or mother is devotional service to the Lord. And the real patni or devoted wife is a wife who helps her husband execute religious principles in devotional service. These two things are required for a happy home. Actually, a woman is supposed to be the energy of the man. Historically, in the background of every great man, there is either a mother or a wife. One's household life is very successful if he has both a good wife and mother. In such a case, everything about household affairs and all the paraphernalia in the house becomes very pleasing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had both a good mother and pleasing wife, and he was very happy at home. Nonetheless, for the benefit of the whole human race, he took sannyas and left both his mother and wife. In other words, it is essential that one have both a good mother and wife in order to become perfectly happy at home. Otherwise, home life has no meaning. Unless one is religiously guided by intelligence and renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his home can never become very pleasing to a saintly person. In other words, if a man has a good mother or a good wife, there is no need of his taking sannyas. That is, unless it is absolutely necessary, as it was for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Purports Ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapal Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate
Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
There will be translations going on. So I will not speak too fast, otherwise I have tendency to speak too fast. This verse is in the middle of the chapter on Puranjana. Who is Puranjana? Bhagavatam tells us all of us are Puranjanas. The story of Puranjana is actually for everyone. Everyone who is born has the great capacity to become Puranjana. Until and unless he becomes connected to Krishna. This is very important. If you look at this verse specifically, this is a very practical verse to tell us how to become peaceful in the household life. Anyone here is not in a household life? I think most of us either have children, wives or parents. And most of us are actually grihasthas. So this verse is actually very, very practical of how to become peaceful in grihastha ashram. Otherwise, the word peaceful and grihastha ashram, they don't go together. Very often grihastha ashram means full of challenges. Wife will tell, husband is like that. Husband will say wife is like that. Children will say husband and wife, father and mother are both like that. Grandparents will say husband, wife neglect us. Everybody in the household has a complaint to make about the next person. It is stated in our daily lives in Vedic religion, in Vedic household, that the mother and the wife of a husband, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, cannot stay in one kitchen. When I got married, my Guru Maharaj told me, Devki, now the days of your happiness are over. 1 year later, Maharaj asked me, so Devki, how is married life? I said, Maharaj, it's quite nice. Maharaj said, don't lie, son. Nice and married life don't get along. Unless you have Krishna. Otherwise, there is no hope. And frankly, Prabhus and Matajis, in any station of life you are in, if you don't have Krishna, there is no hope. There is a fact. Only and unless we are connected to Krishna, something has value. In the second Chatushloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.9.34, Brahmaji is told by Krishna, Rite ritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidvan atmano mayam yatha bhaso yatha tamaha. This we must take with us today in our hearts. Brahmaji is told by Krishna, best advice. Brahma, you please remember one thing. Anything in this world that has value, if it is not connected to me, actually it has no value. This is a very important point. All around us, there are so many valuable items. Many zeros are there, isn't it? Prabhupada always said. Many zeros are there. The zeros are our bank balances. The zeros are our wives, our husbands, our children. They're all there. But they don't have any value until you put one, Krishna, in front. This is the meaning of Chatushloka. Krishna is saying, if you think that there is any value in an object, but it has nothing to do with me, Krishna, then that object, Brahma, yatha bhaso yatha tamaha, it will drag you down to the lowest depths of illusion. Very important. We should never forget that. So every time, Prabhu said, Mataji, you become agitated in the devotional service, then please don't blame Krishna. Don't blame Prabhupada. Don't blame our Guru Maharajas. We can only blame one thing, that somewhere in our life, we are not connected to Krishna. That is the only reason. There is no other reason than this reason. Don't blame. Husband should not blame wife. Wife should not blame husband. This blaming game should stop. Otherwise, household life becomes very difficult. Here you find that Puranjana, just before this verse, Puranjana went to the forest to hunt. And the forest, Bhagavatam tells us, is known as Panchaprastha. Panchaprastha actually means the forest where the five senses are enjoying. Puranjana is the living entity. When he goes out to hunt, it means that he is going out to enjoy. And he's enjoying with his senses. But there is no Krishna in the enjoyment. So when he came home in this verse, after a long day of hunting, he was actually not very satisfied. If we do any activity without Krishna, we never become satisfied. Only for a while it gives us temporary satisfaction. After a while, it will go. And again the mind will tell us, now we have to go here, now we have to go there. And no matter how much we do, we are never satisfied. That is our nature without Krishna. That is why Bhagavatam tells us, Narada Muni is telling Vyas Bhagwan in 1st canto, 5th chapter, 14th verse. 1:5:14. Tato anyata kinchana yad vivekshatah pritak drishashtat kritarupa nama bihi na karhiche kwapicha dushtita matihi labetavata hatanau ivaspadam. This is a very practical verse. Narada Muni tells Vyas Bhagwan, Vyasadev, you please remember one thing. Every time you try to describe anything or perform anything in this world which is separate from the vision of the Lord, that thing that you want to describe or act on will react with different names and forms in this material world, and it will cause you dushtita matihi. Matihi means mind. Dushtita means disturbed, like a pendulum. So anything in this world that you do which is not in line with what Krishna, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra wants, it will cause you agitation. And the moment there is agitation, you become like a boat, Nahu, which is not anchored to the land. What will happen to that boat? It will just move up and down, and before you know it, it will be many, many miles away from the land. This is our life without Krishna. Puranjana was in difficulty because he could not understand that whatever desires he had, they were not meant for serving Krishna. They were meant only to serve his senses. This is why he's in trouble. So Puranjana's situation is our situation. In the 5th canto, 5th chapter, 4th verse, Rishabhdev is telling very nicely to all his sons, 100 sons he had. And he was explaining very nicely. Nunam pramattam kurute vikarma yat indriya pritaya apritnoti yat sadumanye yat admanoyam ashannapi kleshada apidehaha. This verse is also for Puranjana. It is also for us. Rishabhdev is telling his children, my dear sons, when a person comes in contact with sense gratification, that means we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then if he thinks that is my aim of life, there is nothing else in life except to enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Never mind about Krishna. When I'm retired, I'll remember Krishna. When I've got all my bank balance, then I will think of Krishna. If we think this way, then all our activities will become weak karma. In other words, it will become sinful. What is the definition of sin in Krishna consciousness? The definition of sin in Krishna consciousness is simply the forgetfulness of Krishna. The moment we forget Krishna, we become agitated. If husband is speaking to wife and wife is speaking to husband and there is no Krishna in the center, it becomes Kurukshetra. If husband is speaking to wife and wife is speaking to husband and somewhere Krishna is in the center, it is Vrindavan. Of course, Kurukshetra is Dham, but we don't want that Dham in the house. We want Mayapur Dham, we want Vrindavan Dham, we want Dwarka. Kurukshetra, we leave it to Bhagavad Gita. So without Krishna, Rishabhdev says, our life becomes intolerable. And now Rishabhdev is going to tell us something very frightening. He tells us in that verse that we do not understand that because of our past misdeeds, our past karmas, this body has come. This sharir is because of our previous desires. Every time you go outside in Muscat and you see a nice car and you see the car driving by and you think, maybe I should have this car. No problems. Krishna is so kind, you want car. The moment you desire for a car, Krishna has prepared material body for you. Just to enjoy that car. One car. If you pass by and you see this is a nice hall, I would like to have this kind of hall in my house. No problems. There is a body ready for you just after you finish desiring. And that body is ready for you to take in your next life, your next life, your next life, your next life. Imagine just walking through one street, how many bodies we are creating because of our desires to enjoy without Krishna. This is the import of Puranjana's life. So we must be very careful what we desire for, Prabhus and Matajis. The only desire we should have in our heart is to glorify Krishna and serve the devotees. There is no other desire that will bring us peace, especially in Grihastha Ashram. No other desire. Now here, very nicely in the purport, Prabhupada is speaking about two persons. He's speaking about mother and speaking about wife. How many of you are mothers here? Hands up. How many of you are wives here? Okay. Some husbands are putting up their hands also. Alright. So now we know who is really wife and who is really husband. It is stated in Shastra that a good mother, Prabhupada writes in the purport, is one who actually gives devotional service to her son or daughter. This is good mother. The best example of a mother for all the Matajis here is actually the mother of Dhruva Maharaj. In the 4th canto, 8th chapter and 9th chapter, Dhruva Maharaj pastimes are there. And Dhruva Maharaj's mother is Suniti. And Suniti was such a wonderful lady. One day, Dhruva Maharaj decided that he wanted to sit on the lap of his father. His father is a great king. He had a brother, Uttama. But that brother's mother was actually Suruchi. Now, when he wanted to sit on the lap, because Uttama was seated on the lap, immediately his stepmother came to him and told him, "You cannot sit on your father's lap." Why? Because you're not born from my womb. Can you imagine that? If you really want to be qualified to sit on your mother's lap, on your father's lap, then do one thing. You pray that in the next life, you'll be born in my womb. And then you have a chance to sit on father's lap. So Dhruva Maharaj became so angry. He was only hardly 5, 6, 7 years old. But he's Kshatriya. So he became very angry, very upset. He goes to his mother. Now, in normal circumstances, if your son comes to you and says, "Mother, this is what somebody has told me," that means they are insulting you. 9 out of 10 mothers will become also upset. And then after becoming upset, they will tell the son, "Don't talk to this stepmother. Don't waste your time. Don't worry, you'll become a great king. Suniti did not do that. She did not do that. When Dhruva Maharaj came in front of her, he asked her, "What is to be done, mother? I am so upset." And Suniti, in the 4th canto, 8th chapter, round about the 12th verse, she chants very nicely. Dirgam swasanti vrijanasya param apasya balakam aha bala ma mangalam tata pareshuvamstaha bhunte janeyat paradukkadasta. Very practical instruction. Bhagavatam is not in the sky. You're translating that, huh? Very nice. Bhagavatam is on the ground. Bhagavatam is so practical, Prabhu said, Mataji, at any stage of your life, Bhagavatam has a solution. Because it is Krishna. So, Suniti tells Dhruva, "My first advice to you as a mother is that you don't worry and don't wish anything inauspicious for those who want to cause you harm." Very nice instruction. Don't wish, ma mangalam, do not wish anything bad for people who do bad to you. And this is devotional service, Prabhu and Matajis. What is the point of praying to Krishna when Krishna is in the heart of all the living entities, and when we are insulted by someone, we also insult that person? What is the point? So the first thing Dhruva Maharaj was told by his mother is, "My dear son, don't wish anything bad for your stepmother and don't wish anything bad for Uttama." Now she gives him very nice advice. She says, "My dear Dhruva, as far as I'm concerned as a mother, there is nothing in this world that can take away your misery except falling at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no other way. If you are upset, you please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And supposing you tell me, "Prabhu, I'm still upset." Very nice. You please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you say, "Now you are cheating me. I'm chanting but I'm still upset." Then we tell them, "Very good. You have to chant some more. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare." Then they will tell you, "Now when I chant, I'm peaceful. But if I don't chant, I become disturbed. What to do?" Very simple. Chant again. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the best advice that a mother and father can give your children. And you can give this to anyone. And you please, before giving it to anyone, you give it to yourself. Because until we chant, how can we make others chant? We cannot. So this is the best instruction of a good mother. And because Suniti gave this instruction to Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj became one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. The mother knows the heart of the child. She knew that Dhruva still wanted the kingdom. But she thought, instead of telling him how to get a kingdom by fighting, better I tell him to get the kingdom by doing bhakti. Because by doing bhakti, in the end, Dhruva Maharaj did not want the kingdom. He only wanted the lotus feet of Krishna. This is a good mother. When you have a good mother in the house, Prabhupada writes in the purport, there is no need to leave the house. Now the second point Prabhupada brings up is there must be a good wife. What is the definition of a good wife? The best definition that Prabhupada gives here is that a devoted wife is one who is always assisting a husband in the devotional service in the house. This is very important. And Prabhupada writes how important a wife is. Behind every successful man in this world, there is a wife, isn't it? Very true. Matajis are all shaking your heads. Every successful husband is successful because wife has sacrificed behind the scenes. That is a fact. It is a fact. And Prabhupada writes it in the purport. So it must definitely be a fact. The best example of a wife in the Bhagavatam pages is Devahuti. Devahuti got married to Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni was just a sage, you know, yogi. He did not have house, no bank balance, no property, nothing. Devahuti's father was Swayambhuva Manu. Imagine how much money and property Swayambhuva Manu must have had. Imagine that. The whole world was coming from him only because he's Manu. But when she got married to her husband, she gave up all her possessions. Because the only possession that she took with her was her devotion to her husband. And that became her opulence. That became her opulence. And because she served Kardama Muni so nicely as a chaste wife, Kardama Muni then blessed her that whatever devotional service I have, half of that merit will go to you. That's why Prabhupada writes that the wives have one very good privilege. That whatever husband's sukriti is there and nice devotional service is there, you close your eyes, 50% comes to you. The only thing I keep asking is, why can't it be the other way? Yeah? We don't get that privilege, you know. But the wives get it. Why? Prabhupada was asked this in a conversation. Brahmananda Swami at that time asked Prabhupada, why is it you say that only wife gets the sukriti? Why can't the husband get? And Prabhupada spoke, because wives, women by nature, are more pious than men. They are more pious than men. And because they are more pious, it is very easy for them to become faithful to Krishna. And that is why they deserve such mercy from the Lord. Very nice point Prabhupada gives actually. So a devoted wife can always save the husband. But finally, whether one has devoted wife, devoted husband, they should not be devoted to each other and forget Krishna. That devotion we don't want. Devoted wife and husband is good. But if they are devoted to simply just enjoying and serving each other's senses, they will both become disturbed. They will both become disturbed. Krishna is so kind, Prabhus and Matajis. Whatever you want, He gives. Even those who don't want anything from Him, He's still giving to them. The demons, they don't believe in Krishna. But there is fresh supply of oxygen every day. Water is available to all the people who don't believe in Krishna. Isn't it? They get all the free water devotees also get. Krishna does not tax them, does not bill them, nothing. He's so kind. So kind. But if we are really, if we really want to be connected to Krishna, then only we can get peace. The demons do not get peace. They only get agitation. In the household, if we do not put Krishna in the center, then we all become demons. We all become demons. What is that nice verse in Bhagavad Gita? It's 266 of Bhagavad Gita. Nasti buddhi ayuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavana na cha bhavayatha shantir ashantasya kutas sukham. This is the key verse to remember in this chapter. The standard of a devoted mother and wife is ultimately based on this verse. Krishna says to Arjuna, one who is not connected to Krishna can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind. This is the point. If you go back to your house and you say, why I'm always unsteady in my mind when I'm sitting with my wife, don't blame the wife. It is because you are not connected to Krishna. Why is it that I'm sitting with Bhagavatam and I cannot understand Bhagavatam? Why there is no transcendental intelligence? Because factually speaking, we are not trying to become connected to Krishna. We are just making the devotional service into a ritual. But we forget that it should never be a ritual. Every Friday when you come here, you please bow before Krishna and be grateful. Krishna, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to be devoted to you. When Krishna sees the gratitude of a devotee, then that gratitude will give you peace. And where there is peace, there is real happiness. Otherwise, Bhagavatam tells us, household life without Krishna is not grastha ashram. is Grahamedi Ashra. Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, Evam Graheshu Saptanam Pramattanam Tadihaya Aktya Kramat Avinyataha Kalaha Paramadushtaraha. This is in 1st Canto, 13th chapter, 17th verse. The meaning is very important. Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, my dear brother, please remember one thing. The nature of time is that it will suddenly come from nowhere, imperceptibly. Atyakramat. It will overtake you before you know it. And when it overtakes you, you will meet only one person. And that is Yamaraj, death. As devotees, we very much respect Yamaraj because he is Mahajan. And wherever topics of Krishna are spoken, Yamaraj is also there. So you can be assured 100%, today in Friday's program, Yamaraj is seated. We just don't have the eyes to see him. All the devatas are here because you are glorifying the deities and spiritual masters and Prabhupada. They are all here. To that extent, we are very happy with Yamaraj. But we do not want to see Yamaraj when we are leaving the body. We want to see Vishnu Dutas. We don't want to see Yamadutas. If we see Yamadutas, then we are in trouble. If we see Vishnu Dutas, then we know, Hari Bol, things are all right. Before you can come to that stage, the starting point must be in your household life now. If you remember that time is running, that we cannot become unnecessarily attached to anything not connected to Krishna, then we will become peaceful. Otherwise, we run after all these things, but they never come with us. Have you heard of the story of the four wives? One king, you know, he had four wives. First wife was the chief wife. She was the one who went everywhere with him. And he took very good care of her. And she was chief wife. Second wife was the most beautiful wife. She was so beautiful, whenever the king went to a neighboring kingdom, just to show off, you know, he will bring wife number two. Because she looked very beautiful. Everyone will think, this is a man of good taste, you know. Such a nice wife he has. Wife number three was what we call the family wife. She took good care of all his family affairs, took care of the children, took care of all the household things and all. She was the person he turned to if there was any problems. Fourth wife was the really good, well-wishing wife. This wife was always doing everything good for the king in the background. But because she did not look very nice, she did not look very attractive, the king was not attracted to her. Always he neglected her. But she was always his well-wisher. One day, the king is going to die. So he's lying on the deathbed. He's thinking, why to die alone? What's the point of having four wives if I can't take one wife with me? So he says to wife number one, my dear wife, you come with me now. Leave your body and we go together. And his first wife says, I'm very sorry, my dear husband. I love you very much. But frankly speaking, after you die, I cannot follow you. That is a fact. I have to stay back. So king became very upset. But he thought, you know, at least wife number one doesn't want, wife number two will listen. So he comes to wife number two and says, you're so beautiful. I've taken good care of you, shown you to the world. You come with me now. And she says, I'm still young. I'm still very good looking. Why should I die with you? After you die, I'll get married to the next handsome prince in the next kingdom. And I will continue with my life. King was very upset. So king turns to the third wife. My dear wife, you come with me. You're always very nice. You're always listening to my problems. And third wife says, my dear Maharaj, I like to come with you. But who will take care of the children? Who will take care of the family affairs? Better you go on your own. Now the king is completely depressed. Wife number four, he does not ask. But wife number four comes to the king. And she tells the king, my dear husband, my duty is that wherever you go, I am your well-wisher. In good times and in bad times, I will follow you. So Shastras tell us that everybody has four wives. I don't mean factually, but everybody has four wives. Our first wife is our body. It's our sharir. Wherever we go, that wife always comes with us. We take so good care of the sharir, isn't it? We put cosmetics, perfume, everything. But when we die, this sharir is the first thing that will not come with us. That is why we are dead. Because sharir is left behind. Second wife is all our property and our wealth. When we are alive, we like to show off, you know, the properties and the wealth. We walk around with a nice car, we walk around with this and that. If we were all in a wedding now, Prabhu's Mataji's, we will never sit and look in front. We'll all be looking at each other. Oh, Mataji is wearing so much jewelry. Prabhu is wearing so much nice clothes. You saw the car he drove. You know, she looked at me. He didn't look at me. He stared at me. He ignored me. All these things are in the world without Krishna. Why? Because we are enamored by property. But the nature of property in this world is that the moment you die, the property goes to someone else. It never goes with you. The third wife is actually all the friends and relatives that you have now. Even your wives are included as the third wife. They are very happy for you. They want to take care of you. But once you die, they only come up to your funeral pyre. Nobody will follow you after that. The fourth wife is the only wife we have. And that is what we call in Sanskrit, in Puranjana's story, Avignata. Avignata means the unknown one. The super soul who's always in the heart. That super soul follows us in life and in death. And yet we are so ungrateful that we never remember this super soul. But we remember everything else which is temporary. And that is why our happiness is also temporary. If you remember and run after that which is permanent, you will also become permanent. If you run after that which is temporary, how can you become permanent? This is logic. This is the logic of Bhagavatam. And that is why Puranjana was in trouble. He did not have a devoted wife, because his wife in the story only wanted him to enjoy without Krishna. He did not have a mother who told him that he should come to Krishna. That is why Bhagavatam tells us that until and unless we are continuously connected to Krishna, household life is a dream, or rather a nightmare. It will never be peaceful. Two things are needed: devoted wife, devoted to Krishna, and a nice mother. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, Sachi Mata, first class devotee. Such a pure devotee who had no one in her heart except Krishna, who served Mahaprabhu always with the greatest of devotion. Mahaprabhu's wife, Vishnu Priya, and before that, Lakshmi Priya, exalted pure souls who were completely serving the Lord and completely fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. And despite all that, Mahaprabhu left. He did not leave because the wife was not good or the mother was not good. He left because of a higher cause. Because he wanted the masses to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the 8th canto, 7th chapter, 44th verse, Lord Shiva is drinking the poison. The poison that came out of the churning of the milk ocean. You remember? That poison was so great, the devatas came to Shiva and told him, Lord, you please save us. So Lord Shiva drinks that terrible poison and it makes his throat become blue. That is why he is known as Neelakanth. Right? In that episode, there is a nice verse in Bhagavatam. Tapyante lokatapena sadavaha prayasho janaha. Then he says, Parama aradhanam taddihi purusha akila atmanaha. This verse describes Mahaprabhu in the verse. It says, great personalities, they make so much sacrifice so that others can benefit in society. That is their austerity. That is their penance. Are we to do the same thing? Prabhupada is asking in the purport. Prabhupada says that one should not unnecessarily leave the household life. Not artificially. Not artificially. Don't leave because your wife is beating you every day. Don't leave because your children are ignoring you every day. It is not the fault of the children and the wife. We are not devotees. Don't blame others. You know, if you go to Dwarka, how many of you have been to Dwarka? If you go to Gomti Ganga, you will see many sadhus seated there. In 1995, when I went to Dwarka first time, I went to Gomti Ganga. And I saw this sadhu with long beard and long hair, saffron robes. And suddenly I was talking to him and he told me that he's coming from very, very down in the south, all the way up to Dwarka. He told me, I have left my wife, my children, my job, everything, because I want to become peaceful in this world. And now I want to sit here and do nothing else but just do nice contemplation and meditation. I was very impressed. He was just living very quietly in one corner. 1 year later, I come back to Dwarka. And I'm taking the same walk along this Gomti Ganga. And suddenly, I start hearing BBC news. BBC. So I go towards a small hut, you know. I go inside and the same sadhu is sitting there. Now he has satellite TV. Now he has BBC transistor radio. And I asked him, Swamiji, what are you doing now? He said, I've left everything, don't worry. But I have to be connected to the world, you know. That's why I need BBC. So that we know what is happening, you see. So I told my Guru Maharaj this. And Maharaj said, Devaki, we also listen to BBC. We listen to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and do chanting. That is our BBC. And supposing you think we are not reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we do BBC. C is also for Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Maharaj told me, because we do this BBC, we are free of that BBC. That is why we can sit in the house and be with the wives and children and be connected to Krishna because of BBC. And Maharaj told me, those who are not connected to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and chanting, they become very agitated. Agitated. And when they're agitated, what they do is they go to the restaurants. This is a restaurant, isn't it? It's a restaurant, huh? They go to the restaurants, they sit in the restaurant because there is AC. And when there is AC, you become a little bit cool, you know? After the big Mahabharata war in the house. You come out, you sit in AC, you become very cool. But Maharaj told me, we also have AC. Our AC makes us always cool. Because it is the cooling shelter of AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhu Padaki. So this is our BBC and this is our AC. If you don't have Prabhupada, if you don't have Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and chanting, then whether wife is nice, whether children are nice, whether husband is nice, without Krishna, everything is bad. Everything is bad. So please, the important point of this purport is two things. The first thing we should remember is, a wife who is in Krishna consciousness is very, very important. But so is a husband in Krishna consciousness. That is also equally important. But because wife becomes the standing point of the house, then the wife also influences the children. And if the wife is devoted to Krishna, naturally children will also become devoted to Krishna. Prabhupada writes in the purport, one must be guided by intelligence, which is transcendental. How do we become transcendentally intelligent to handle household life? By putting Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and chanting in the center. Every time you are going to fight with your husband and husband who is going to fight with wife, very simple. Both of you should immediately chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you'll find after chanting that, it's very hard to scold each other. Because Krishna has come in the center. And the next time you become very angry with your husband, then you just go up to him and loudly say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What should the husband do? When the wife is very heated up, what should the husband do? The husband should not also become heated up. Husband should see the hand of Krishna in every situation. This is the mood of a wife and a husband. We see Krishna's hand. That is important. You know Narsingh Mehta? Narsingh Mehta is a very famous saint from Gujarat, isn't it? Narsingh Mehta's wife was very, very supportive of his bhajans. One day he was performing bhajans so much that suddenly in the house the wife became sick and she died. Now if you are doing nice devotional service and Krishna takes away wife, you will ask Krishna, why Krishna you are doing this? Narsingh Mehta never asked. He thanked Krishna, not because wife died. But he thanked Krishna because while I was chanting the holy names of the Lord, you had taken her mercifully. I pray for her and now I have no one else to depend except you. This is the mood of a devotee. Ekanath is another famous saint from Maharashtra. Ekanath's wife was very good wife, very Krishna conscious, very devoted. And Ekanath every day thanked Krishna. Thank you Krishna for sending me such a good Krishna conscious wife. Because of her, I can remember Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee. Tukaram, you all know Tukaram. Tukaram's wife was too much, you know. She was Asuri number one. She did not want to have anything to do with Krishna. Nothing. And no matter how much Tukaram spoke about Krishna, she always condemned Krishna. At the end of his life, Tukaram was going to leave. The airplane had come from Vaikuntha Loka. And Tukaram said, my wife, even now you want, you can come with me. What was the answer? Who is going to take care of the field? Who will take care of the cows? If I also go with you to Vaikuntha Loka, who will take care of our land? This was the mood of his wife. But Tukaram never blamed Krishna, never cursed Krishna. In fact, he said, Krishna, thank you so much for sending me such a terrible wife. Because she's always harassing me, I have no choice but to remember you and pray very hard. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in that way, Tukaram also became very, very peaceful. So this is the way that Bhagavatam tells us household life can become peaceful. I remember one story that I will say before I leave. One wife, you know, was asking her husband one day. She was serving him some prasadam. So she asked him this question. I've been serving you very lovingly, 20 years. Always giving you prasadam, taking care of you. Now supposing you and I were in a boat and we are actually on the water. And your mother is also in the same boat. Now the boat suddenly capsizes and all three of us are in the water. If all three of us are in the water and your mother cannot swim and I can't swim and only you can swim, who will you save? Oh, that's a terrible question for a husband, isn't it? How to answer that question? If you want prasadam on the table, better say wife. If you think that you can survive, better say mother. So the husband, without hesitation, he says, I will save my mother. Wife becomes very upset. Why would you save your mother when I'm serving you all this time? Husband says, because in this life you can only have one mother. You can have many wives, but I only have one mother. She got more upset. You will get upset also when you hear this. And at that point of time, she becomes so upset. Next day, she meets her friend. And she relates the whole incident to the friend. And she tells her friend, what kind of answer is that? What should I do with my husband? And the friend tells her, very simple. You should learn how to swim. If you learned how to swim, it doesn't matter if the husband saves you or saves the mother. We must be very clear about our goal of existence. Our goal of existence is Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yatho Bhaktir Adoksaje Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. The main aim of our life, the only occupation, whether you are husband, wife, sannyasi, brahmana, shudra, vaisha, it doesn't matter. The main occupation is to render devotional service to Krishna. And it should be done in an unmotivated passion. That means nothing in our heart except to please Krishna and his devotees. That's all Prabhu said, Matajis. If you can do that, you will not become Puranjana. Otherwise, Puranjana's fate will become our fate. We have to be very careful there. Once you come and see Krishna every Friday with the intention to only glorify him, you will never make this gathering a social function. Otherwise, this gathering will become a ritual and you will become disturbed. But if you come here only to glorify Krishna and the Vaishnavas, I guarantee you on the pages of Bhagavatam, your devotional service will become apratihata. It will become uninterrupted. And when your devotional service is uninterrupted, what happens to your atma? Yayatma suprasidati. You become fully satisfied, fully happy, fully peaceful. This is the royal road to Krishna. This is the royal road to happiness. Otherwise, we all become Puranjanas. How many of you know Puranjana story from start to end? I have 5 minutes. I think it's important for us to know what happens to Puranjana. Shall we hear about Puranjana?
Yes.
Puranjana was looking around for a place. He's a king, by the way. Great, powerful king. Puranjana was going from kingdom to kingdom because he wanted to find a city where he could live forever in enjoyment. That was his only aim. Puranjana did not travel alone. He traveled with his good friend known as Avignyata. Avignyata was his well-wisher. Wherever Puranjan went, he would follow. But Puranjan never listened to his good advice. But Avignyata never forsook, never let go of Puranjan. One day, Puranjana enters into this city which is so beautiful, Bhagavatam says, that it is a perfect place to stay in. He notices one thing that is very interesting about this city. It has 9 gates. 9 gates. Each gate, when Puranjana opened up to another beautiful city within the city. And he found that he could enjoy there unlimitedly. But he did not know who was staying in the city. As he was walking around with Avignyata, he sees this beautiful looking maiden walking towards him. But she is not alone. Behind her, there is a very strong gunda-like, you know, chief servant. He is walking behind her. And then behind him, there are 10 servants. Also very strong, gunda-like. And then behind them, behind each of them, there are 100 maid servants. And behind all of them, right at the back end there, just behind the cooler, you have a great powerful serpent. And the serpent had 5 hoods. And it was just watching right, left, right, left. Puranjana was not interested in everyone else, but he was attracted by the beauty of the maiden. Of course, he was a very eligible bachelor king, looking around for marriage. Immediately when he sees the maiden, he asks, "Who are you? Where have you come from? Are you married?" Immediately. In those days, they were very direct, you know. Nowadays, we are not direct. Huh? But that time, immediately, if I want to marry you, I'll tell you immediately I want to marry you. So Puranjana asked her, "Who are you? Where you are coming from?" And this maiden replied very mysteriously. She said, "I'm coming from this city, but frankly speaking, I'm just wandering around because I don't know, apart from this city, where I've actually come from. I don't know. I'm just wandering around. I'm lost. But if you want to settle in this city, I will be very happy to get married to you." She's also very direct. "And if you get married to me, my dear, handsome, powerful king, we can enjoy like anything for 100 years in this city. You see all these people behind me? This chief gunda, he is my servant. And he takes care of all other servants and we are always taking care of you. We will give you unlimited pleasure and happiness. You see the serpent right at the back? That serpent will guard the city 24 hours day and night. Nothing to do except enjoy, my dear king." Puranjana thought, this is the deal of the century. This is what I've been waiting for. I've been dreaming about this. So he settles down. And every day, Bhagavatam says, Puranjana would spend time with his queen. He became so attached to her that when his queen stood up, he will stand up. Queen sat down, he will sit down. Queen smiled, he will smile. Queen laughed, he will laugh. Queen cried, he will cry. Queen became angry, he would become angry. And if the queen went to sleep, he went to sleep. He had no existence apart from his queen. And whenever the queen was not in the town, he would go to each of the cities, 9 gates, and there he would enjoy and come back. In time, he had 1,100 sons and 100 daughters. That was the result of all his enjoyment. And to maintain them, one child you want to maintain in this world, you can die, isn't it? Imagine maintaining 1,100 children. Puranjana had no time for Krishna, no time for Abhignata. All he had time for was his enjoyment and maintenance. Enjoyment, maintenance, that's all. 100 years went, and one night, one Gandharva king known as Chandavega, he decides, I have been watching this city and now I want to invade it. Chandavega comes into the city. Chandavega also means time. 100 years of Puranjana's time was up. Chandavega walks into the city to take over. He has a sister, you know, and his sister's name is Jara, old age. When Jara walks into the city, she starts embracing all the men. And all the men don't want to be embraced by Jara. But when they embrace, they become old, they become weak. Now Jara is looking for a husband. So she approaches another king known as Bhaya. Bhaya means fear. But Bhaya says, no, 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 I don't want to be married to old age. You get married to someone else. So Bhaya also comes into the city where Kalakanya, Chandavega, time walks in, old age follows. Where there is old age, there is fear. And like that, the whole city of Puranjan is caught, attacked. The snake fights very hard. Puranjan is afraid that his city will go. He is afraid he will lose his wife. But eventually with time, Puranjan is also destroyed. He is dragged out forcibly from the city and the serpent dies. And thinking of his wife and thinking of his wife, thinking of his wife, in the next life Puranjan becomes a woman. That's why if you think of your wife at the end of your life, if you think of sari, you become sari. If you think of dhoti, you'll become dhoti. But if you think of Krishna, you'll become servant of Krishna. Puranjan became Puranjani. He became the daughter of King Vidarbha. But by Krishna's mercy and Avignyata's mercy, his friend, he got married in his female form to a king who is a devotee. And when the king left his life, Puranjani became purified. And she could come to understand the purpose of her existence. Because when she became alone after her husband dies, Puranjana's good friend Avignyata, he comes before her and he tells her, do you know who you really are? You are actually part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your happiness is only there when you are connected to Krishna. So do not become Puranjana's Prabhus and Matajis. If we are not connected to Krishna, if we are not connected to Guru and Sadhu, we will always struggle in any ashram. Do not artificially renounce your wives and your children. There is no point to it. Instead, to all the zeros that you have, you add Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by chanting Krishna's name, Bhagavatam guarantees that you will never become anxious. And supposing you are anxious, Bhagavatam says chant more. And supposing you are anxious, you open up Bhagavatam, open up Bhagavad Gita, look at the shloka, and Krishna will speak to you from Bhagavad Gita and he will speak to you from Bhagavatam. Never become discouraged in your spiritual life. You're all doing so nicely in bhakti. Continue this. Make Mathura Desh so powerful that across the whole universe, everyone should hear the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Srila Gurudev ki. Ananta Gauri Vaishnavind ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Prabhuji. I want to thank the leaders. I think Mukul Murari Prabhu, you're here, Prabhuji? He's here? Ah, Haribol, Haribol. I want to thank all the other devotees who have given me such nice engagement over the last 2-3 days. Please remember, time is very short. Don't waste your time. Immediately start Bhagavad Gita, start Bhagavatam, start chanting, and you will become peaceful. Hare Krishna. I also want to thank the translators. I think there's a Prabhu there. Mataji, you are there. I'm sorry if I was too fast, but in 1 hour it is very difficult to explain these subject matters, so please forgive me. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol, Kalkadish Prabhu.
This yatra occasion is also a family.
Yes.
Right? You are acting in the space class in your community, Singapore.
Yes.
You have some disciples of some 70 gurus.
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
So here we have disciples around 6 gurus.
Right? Very nice. Yes.
So still, Gurukula Prabhu is struggling to handle them.
Yes.
So, how do you manage your congregation?
Everywhere, in every yatra, the struggles are always going to be there. But Krishna tells us one thing in Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, please sit down. Right here, Sandhu, right here. Silence, please. Class is not about to over.
Sorry, Prabhu. Prabhu's question is a practical point. In every yatra, there will always be struggle. Why? Because Kali is always waiting to see how he can enter wherever there is devotional service. It is the nature of Kali to try to present challenges while we take up the devotional service. But when there is difficulty and challenge when we take up devotional service, Srila Prabhupada said, that is the sign of advancement. When Prabhupada saw one devotee and asked his disciple, how are you doing in your devotional life? That disciple told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, very nice. Prabhupada met another disciple and asked him, how are you doing in your spiritual life? And he said, Prabhupada, I'm struggling. Too much problems are there. And Prabhupada said, the second disciple is very genuine in Krishna consciousness. The first disciple is in the sky. He doesn't have any idea that when one takes up Krishna consciousness seriously, Maya Devi will come in full force and she will try very hard in the yatras, in your hearts, in your house to try and cause the disruptions. The only thing we should do as a yatra is to ignore the disruptions and continue with full force. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. With full force, we continue the devotional service. At the end of the day, Prabhu, the only thing that Bhagavatam speaks about is the intense and unflinching devotional service. The moment we do nice devotional service, all inebrieties will somehow or another go. All discrepancies, even if they are there, will have to go. In the 8th canto, Sukracharya, of all people, Sukracharya, who is not a devotee of the Lord, the moment Bali Maharaj is caught and he's tied up, and finally Bali Maharaj surrenders to the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna as Vamandev turns to Sukracharya and says, Sukracharya, now what have you got to say? Have you got anything to say? Any complaints? Anything against me? And Sukracharya says, Mantrastha Tantrastha Chidram Desha Kalartha Vastutaha Sarva Karoti Nischidram Anu Sankirtana Tava. This is the mantra that we must always remember. He says, my dear Lord, there may be discrepancies, Chidram. There may be discrepancies in the way we pronounce. There may be discrepancies in the way we are doing some principles which are regulative. There may be discrepancies based on time, place, paraphernalia, circumstances. There may be discrepancies even in relationships. But the moment your Lordship's names are chanted, Anu Sankirtana Tava, Sarva Karoti Nischidram, all discrepancies vanish. They vanish, even though they appear to be there. They have no effect. Just like you throw ash into fire, Prabhu, it has no effect. In the same way, Kali will always present difficulties. He will present dualities. But the devotees who are chanting and taking shelter of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, they will somehow be protected. This is my experience, Prabhuji. There will never be a day when you will not have problems in your life, even as a devotee. But Krishna consciousness gives you the strength how to handle the problems, how to face them, and how to slowly learn to ignore them. That is the beauty of this movement. But it takes time, Prabhuji. And as devotees, we must be peaceful and we must be patient. If there is no peace and there is no patience in the way we conduct relationship with each other, then there will only be two A's, anger and agitation. And once you are in anger, anger is one letter away from danger. Anger, danger, very close. So as devotees, we must tolerate Kali. Kali will come, but if we chant, how long can Kali stay? Kali doesn't like the chanting, by the way. So the more you chant, the more Kali has to leave. That way, Prabhu, we become peaceful. I hope that is useful, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhu. Is there a question? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Bol, Prabhuji.
You were explaining the doing of mother as well as wife at a time.
Yes.
In the same instance, suppose there is a situation.
Yes, Prabhu.
Wherein you have a wife.
Yes.
Who is Krishna conscious.
Yes, Prabhu.
Who is helping you.
Yes.
And the other side, mother is not Krishna conscious.
Hmm.
She's struggling, again, she's struggling like the husband also.
Yes.
So whom you will... whom should we save?
We should save ourselves first, Prabhu.
That's what I'm saying. Life is supporting you.
Yes.
This is Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
There is a... these are the practical difficulties.
It is. I will share with you one thing. Haribol, Haribol. I will share with you one thing that I've understood from Bhagavatam and from dealing with devotees. There will never be a clear situation of peace in this world, especially in Grastha Ashram. One who gets married or one who lives in this world must first of all accept that. In any situation of life, nobody is not suffering. Practically speaking, Prabhuji, if mother is not for Krishna consciousness, but you are living with her, serving her, your wife and you are both Krishna conscious, and she's causing in that sense some form of agitation, the only thing we can do as devotees, as really good, sincere devotees, is to tolerate how she is behaving. This tolerance, Prabhu, is the next door to devotional service. A devotee who is really fixed in sadhana, Krishna gives him great, great powers to tolerate. Sometimes, Prabhu, as Vaishnavas, not only must we tolerate, but there are times when we must also be firm. Prabhupada gave the example of the snake who was initiated by Narada Muni. And after being initiated, he decided that he will never kill anyone. After one day, when he entered into the forest and came out of it and went to the village, the boys, you know, they saw the snake and they started throwing stones. Ordinarily, the snake would just hiss and he would bite and they would run away. But snake thought, now I've become Sadhu Baba. I've taken Diksha from Narada Muni. You know, so my name is Snake Das. Therefore, I must become very peaceful. I will not do anything. Let them kill me. It doesn't matter. So the snake was beaten up and stoned almost to the point of death. Narada Muni comes. He sees the snake and says, my dear disciple, what happened to you? And the snake said, Maharaj, I was only following your instruction. Your instruction was become peaceful, become patient, become sadhu. So I did not do anything. So Narada Muni said, when I told you to become peaceful and patient in your dealings with the people, I told you not to bite, but I did not tell you not to hiss. Sometimes, Proji, according to time, place, circumstances, a devotee must become firm. But at the same time, he must balance it with his respect and his service, especially to elders and to parents. It will never be an easy situation. But this I know, that the more you chant, the more there is quality in your devotional service, the more Krishna will test your faith. And he will test it in the form of anybody or anything. Mother is a good example. Sometimes Krishna comes in the form of mothers and wives and husbands to just give us the difficulties, but to also make us strong. The best way I can end off this answer, if you put up a picture on the wall, you see these pictures on the wall. We always take a nail, we knock it into the wall. Before we put the picture up on the wall, what do? We always test whether the nail is strong, isn't it? It's natural. We'll always just shake it a bit to see if it's okay. Then if it's okay, we frame the picture. So Jiva Goswami describes this point. He says that Krishna does the same thing in the heart of the living entity. He first of all will test our determination and resolve to take shelter of him. That resolve is tested by the movement of the nail. If the resolve is strong and the nail is strong, then Krishna frames the picture of loving devotional service into the heart of the devotee. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll do here. Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Thank you. So we'd like to thank His Grace Devikinandan Das Prabhuji for
thank you.
Giving us a practical solution to live a very peaceful devotional life.
Thank you, Prabhu.
So let's give a big hari bol to Prabhuji. Hari bol. Prabhuji would like to do 5 minutes kirtan, and I hope you all like experience.
Mataji has a question there.
Oh, is there a question? Prabhu, should I take the question? Yes. How to make children chant? I assume chanting the holy names of the Lord. How to make children chant the holy names of the Lord? If the children see you chant, eventually they must chant. If they do not see mothers and fathers chant, they will not chant. But after seeing you chant, sometimes they don't want to chant. But at that point of time, we should not force them. By forcing your child, they will just be the opposite. But if you lovingly show them in your life that by chanting you are really happy, they also will chant. Very often when I ask children in Singapore, why you're not chanting? Your mother and father are chanting. They say, yes, my father and mother are chanting, but after chanting they are fighting. So Prabhu, if I chant, I will also fight. I don't want to chant. Thank you, Mataji. So let us chant the holy names of the Lord, and after that there should be no fighting. Please, better. You want the mic, Prabhuji? Okay.
Hare Krishna. So,
Is it okay, evening program for the notes?
Yes, sir.
Can I organize?
Yes, sir.
So just to remind that teachers training course who are attending this program, please be on the venue 10:25 sharp. Hare Krishna, we will read out all the announcements at one go and then chant for the prayers. Main Prasadam is sponsored by Radha Raman Sundar Das Prabhuji on the occasion of his father, Jaisish Prabhu, and mother, Tiyari Devi Mataji's death anniversaries on the 9th and the 26th respectively. Kunjiya Prabhu's.
No, different to
you. And Vaishnava Seva, he has also contributed for the Main Prasadam. Also, Ravi Kumar Prabhu's mother.